Everybody, we got to get this year, as we were in January, we're beginning of the new year, man. Let's have a big ask. Let's not be afraid to get a big ask. Listen, we are talking, when we talk about God, we're talking about a God whom nothing is impossible for. He said, you can ask me for anything and I will give it to you. We're talking about a God who spoke light into existence. And the moment that he said light, it was. Amen? We could turn all the lights off in this building, and within a split second of us turning the light switch on, this room will fill up with light. Why? Because God said, light be, and it is. Amen? So there's literally nothing that is too difficult for God. God never is in heaven scratching his head going, man, Bradley, you really did it this time. I don't know what I'm going to be able to do to get you out of your mess. God never is worried about that. Amen? And we got to make sure, I want to challenge, when we were talking about getting into the presence of God and not being afraid to ask for something big, to dream for something big, and to, with faith-filled boldness, come before God and ask him, because he promises that those who ask receive. And today we're going to look at the next section of that. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Everyone say, seek and you will find. Okay? Now here's the deal with this. You gotta understand, this is beyond just a formula, but this is something that God, Jesus, has told us to do. Amen? How many understand what I'm talking about? This is something to do. We have to understand this. The reason the ask is wonderful, but once we begin to ask, and once we begin to have a big ask, and we're asking God for things that we never even thought possible that before, and I don't know what that could be. It could be, God, I need financial provision in a supernatural way, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but God, I know that you said that if I'm faithful and obedient to give and to tithe, you said you would take care of me. And we begin to ask that way. We begin to take God at his word and call that back to him. Once we do that, listen, once we do that, the story isn't over. Amen? And this is what I've been guilty of a lot of times. I've been guilty of in my walk and in my relationship with God, I've been guilty of asking, looking around for a minute, waiting for something to magically drop out of heaven, and when it doesn't, I get bored, or I forget about it, or I shrug my shoulders and say, well, I guess that just wasn't God's will. And I just go on about my normal, and I get back into the normal routine. I forget about it. How many have ever been guilty of that? I've done that many times. And I begin to look at the scripture. I begin to look at it like this. Listen, there's more to having answers to our prayer than simply asking. In fact, the asking is the very beginning. And a lot of times in our Christian lives, we ask, and then we stop right there. And we don't go on to the rest of what Jesus said to do. Does that make sense? And so we're going to begin to look at what it means to seek and find this morning, because that is the promise. How many have ever done this? How many have ever lost the key? You're running late for work. You run out, and right now, if you lose your keys, you're thinking, man, it's cold and I got to go start my car. How many ever had that frustration of losing your keys, right? And here's the deal: when you lose that, you all of a sudden everything stops, right? You lose your keys, everything stops. Doesn't matter. And I've done this, man. And now, thank God, our kids are getting older. And I hope, I'm praying it gets easier. I'm told it gets harder as they get older. I'm not sure. But I remember when our kids were small, we had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old and a newborn, and or a 4 and a, or a 5 and a 3 and a 2, or whatever their age group is. But we had a couple in diapers and one just, you know, kind of still. And man, we had to care. I remember that first time you had your child and you had that little baby. And man, the first time you go to leave, and you guys have experienced this reason, the first time you go to leave with that new baby, you got a diaper bag and a backpack, and you got this giant carriage seat, and you got all toys and food and all kinds of, and you're just trying to go to the store, and it takes an hour to pack everything up for that, right? And I remember when we have three children, and man, just for us to leave to go away for a night somewhere is like a major ordeal. How many can relate to that? We've got toys loaded up in the van, and then there's this moment, we had this happen, we get everything loaded up. I mean, we're packing and we get the van loaded up and I'm carrying 14,000 bags in, and I'm like, man, let's get in the van. Let's go. Come on, let's go. We get in the van. Everybody's loaded up. All of a sudden, I reach in my pocket. I look over to my wife. You got the keys? She looks over at me. No, I thought you had the keys. And at that moment, everything stops. All of our planning, all of our prepping, everything we want to do stops, and we have to put everything on hold, and everything now revolves around finding finding those keys, right? And listen, that's the attitude we need to have sometimes when we have a big ask. When we're asking something big from God, we've got to focus on that thing, just like we lost our keys, and we've got to realize, guess what? Until I find this thing, I'm not going anywhere. Amen? And Jesus said, listen, the promise is seek and find. Here's what we do a lot of times. A lot of believers, and I'm talking about myself, are guilty. We want to put all of the responsibility on God and do nothing for ourselves. Amen? We want to pray and pray and pray, and we just look at God and say, hey, you know, God, come tie my shoes. You know what I mean? And God's like, dude, you can tie your own shoes. I mean, I know that's real simple, basic, kind of ridiculous. But we have to understand that Jesus has set up principles. Jesus has set up foundations. Jesus has set up and given us tools and principles and keys. The Bible is Matthew chapter 16, 19. Didn't Jesus say, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven? What sort of things you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What sort of things you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We got to understand that Jesus has given us some tools, some keys, some principles to guide our life. And if we look for those keys, find those keys, use those keys, we end up finding the things we're asking for, right? But a lot of times what I want to do is I want to pray and just put all the responsibility on God, and God saying, hey, some of this is a give and take here. Amen? I call that passive Christianity, right? I want to sit in my lazy boy and let the heavens open up and God just to rain down all of his blessings on me, and I don't want to do any work to have the things God said I could have. But Jesus says here in this scripture, he says, once you ask, you're going to receive, but don't stop at the asking. Amen? Don't stop at the asking. Seek and you will find. Okay? Seek and you will find. So what does it mean to seek? What does it mean to seek, okay? In the Greek, that word seek, in the original language, it really means this. We sometimes, if I was to say go look for something, you may go look for something, and 50-50, maybe you'll find it, maybe you don't, right? You know, maybe I'll find it, maybe. Here's what, in the Greek language, though, this word seek, it literally means to seek with the expectation of finding. That's what it means in the original language. The word seek doesn't just mean to seek and hope you run into it. It means to search with the expectation, or to search until you find it. Does that make sense? So what does seeking mean? Seeking to me has two words that wrap up seeking. We'll talk about those for a second. Seeking involves intentionality and expectation. Okay? Everyone say that with me. Intention and expectation. Intention and expectation. Let's talk about intention. Intention simply means to do something on purpose. Amen? To do something on purpose. If I'm going to, once I ask God, let's say, God, Lord, I want to get closer to you. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to have more of your character in my life, Lord. I want to hear your voice more. I want to be what you call me. You know what that may mean? You know what the seeking part of that's going to be? The seeking part of that may be me intentionally setting my alarm 20 or 30 minutes earlier than I need to, so that I can intentionally get up and spend some more time with God. Does that make sense? It may mean at night shutting off the TV a little earlier, giving myself 15 or 20 minutes to get into the Word and intentionally do it. How many understand what I'm talking about? Lord, I need to get free from there are friendships and relationships that are in my life that are dragging me down. Lord, every time I get around this group of people, I just fall right back into the same mess, fall back into the same trap. You know what the seeking part of that? God, listen, Jesus is going to deliver us. We're going to receive that, what we ask for, but it may mean me intentionally stepping back from some of those toxic relationships that drag me down and get me involved in and take me place I don't need to go. How much do I'm talking about? Okay? Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need you to provide. Lord, I got laid off or whatever. God, I need you to do something. Well, guess what? The seeking aspect of that is going to be me turning soap operas off in the afternoon, looking in the one ads, calling some people up, calling, doing whatever I got to do, going into businesses and saying, hey, are you hiring? Listen, the intention. And Jesus says, when you seek, then you will find. Right? And a lot of times I'm like, God, I'm praying, I'm asking, and we get frustrated when we don't receive the answers, and a lot of it is because I have this passive view of prayer that puts all the job and all the blame on God and none of it on me. Does that make sense? So seeking means we've got to be intentional. I'm asking you to give me a better marriage, God, to heal my relationship, or Lord, just to make us one. God, I want our marriage to be what the Bible says it should be, man. Christ loving the church and that example. God, well, you know what the seeking part, the intentional part of that may be me intentionally scheduling some time to spend with my spouse. Does that make sense? Listen, I can pray till the cows come home. God, give me a better marriage, right? But if I don't ever take the time to invest in that relationship, that marriage ain't going nowhere. Amen? Y'all are awfully quiet this morning. I don't know. Maybe I stirred up. I don't mean to be all up in your biscuits and gravy this morning, but if I am. We got to understand that there's some work to do on my part. And Jesus said, when you seek, then you will find. And we don't want to do anything. Sometimes I don't want to do anything until I find it. God, give it to me first, and then I'll do something with it. No, Jesus says, seek, and then you find. Amen? So intentionality wraps up our searching and our seeking, okay? Listen, here's another phrase that, get your phone out and tweet this. Make this your Facebook status. Watch this. The proof of desire is in the pursuit. Okay? The proof of desire is in the pursuit. I can tell how badly you want something by the lengths you are willing to go to get it. Okay? Now, if you're like me, I have an extreme personality disorder when it comes to tunnel vision. What I mean is, when I get something fixated that I want or I want to do or I want to have this or whatever, everything shuts down, and I'm zeroed in like a pit bull, man. I mean, I'm like, and it doesn't matter. And sometimes that's good, sometimes that can be bad. That's just the way it is. How many understand? Okay, so we get zeroed in there because I don't, that's just you know, part of the way God made me. Amen. But the proof of desire is in pursuit. Okay? My wife and I we've been dating since we were in high school. She lived in Harrison, Ohio, and I lived here in Brookville through high school. We dated for a long time. We've been married for some years now. 12 years this November. I know. I'm just messing. I know. And how many remember, you know, how many remember that, you know, young love, puppy love phase of a relationship you were in? And I remember because we were high school sweethearts, but at different high schools, and of course that's a long distance phone call, right? And I remember sometimes in high school I would get a big bill from my parents that, hey dude, you either pay this bill or stop talking on the phone to your girlfriend, right? And that would, right? Why? And here's how some of those, how many ever had one of these conversations? I never have, but I've heard of people having these conversations. And it goes like this. It goes like this. You talk, you know, for an, man, how in the world, did I sometimes wonder, how in the world did I talk on the phone for like an hour, 2 hours? I can't stand to talk. I'm like, man, just text me, dude. Why are you talking? I don't need, man, praise God for some of that. You know what I'm like? You know, I worked for a pastor one time, and a lot of pastors, I don't feel like I have a personality of a lot of pastors. A lot of pastors are, you know, hey, man, how you doing? They'll sit there and talk to you for 4 hours, and that's just not me. You know, I mean, we'll talk and we can hang out. I love to have a good time, but I mean, just to talk about nothing for an hour and a half, I can't do that. I'm not made that way, right? But I worked for a pastor, man. I mean, he could turn anything would turn into a 2-hour conversation. You know what I mean? I call him. Well, I remember we was in Michigan and we had a big snowstorm coming in, and it was a Wednesday night right before church and youth group, and it was like 2 hours before, and I called him and said, man, what are we gonna do? We're gonna have church? We're gonna cancel? You know, let me know what's going on so I can start letting everybody know what's happening. And I mean, I was on the phone for like 45 minutes. He was going, man, well, I looked at the radar, Justin, and you know, we got a nor'easter coming in from Canada, and we got this other thing, and he's going into like the whole thing, and then he was talking about everything, and then he's like, let's talk about Sunday. And if this comes, I'm like, dude, I just need to know right now, or do you want to have church, or are we going to have church tonight or not? Okay, so I don't know how we talked on the phone for two or three, 4 hours of time, but we get to this, we get to the end of that conversation. I go, okay, hey, sweetheart, hey, baby, I love you. Okay, I love you too. All right, gotta go. Okay, bye. Bye. I I've seen this in movies. I never did this, but I've seen. Are you still there? Yeah. I'm saying, okay, I got to go. Bye. Bye. Well, go ahead and hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. How many has ever done? I've done that, all right? Shamefully and as unmanly as I feel right now, yes, I have done that. Okay? You say, why? Why would somebody look like such an idiot? If I saw somebody doing that, I would probably smack them upside the head. I'd probably grab their phone and just hang it up for them and say, you look like an idiot right now. But why do we do goofy things like that when we're in love? Why? Because I desired her. I wanted to be with her. I was pursuing a relationship. And because the proof of desire is in the pursuit. Man, I was willing to do whatever it took to foster and go forward in that relationship. Amen. Listen, the proof of desire is in the pursuit. And when we get turned on to the things of God, we get our eyes fixed on the things of God. We want more of God. We're looking for God to do something big and supernatural in our life. Listen, we've got to understand that there's some desire on our part. And God says, I can see how serious you are by the length you're willing to go after this. Amen? don't tell me you're looking for a godly woman, you know, and you want a godly wife. If you're looking for that lady in a bar. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, we met in a bar and everything worked out. Well, hey, God can do, thank God, his grace and mercy can turn all of my stupid decisions around for the glory of God. Amen. But listen, if you intentionally are saying, God, I'm looking for a godly man or a godly woman. You know where you're going to find one of them at? Probably at church. Come on, somebody. Listen, don't go hanging out where a bunch of dogs are. Amen. Come on, somebody. You got to hang out where you're going to find that. Well, if you desire that, you go after that. Amen? I can't say to God, man, God, I'm looking for a job. God, I'm looking for you to provide for me if I don't ever want to work. If I just want to sit around and watch soap operas all day and hang out and watch Judge Judy and judge whatever judge shows they got at 2 in the afternoon. Isn't that awful feeling when you're home in the afternoon and you turn it and there's nothing on but soap operas and Judge Judy? It's just, oh, man. But if that's all I want to do all day, guess what? God, I'm not serious about finding a job. Amen? When I was a youth pastor, I used to have kids come in with like a job application, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-olds with their pants sagging down and hair all a mess and a backwards cap. And I can talk about people like that because I used to be a saggy pants kid, punk skater kid in high school, and I understand. But thank God somebody told me, look, dude, if you want to be taken seriously when you go into a job, pull your daggone pants up, brush your teeth, comb your hair, and tuck your shirt in so you don't look like a mess when you go in because nobody's going to take you seriously. Come on, somebody. Listen, the proof of desires in the pursuit. And if I want something, I've got to do whatever it takes to go after it. Right. Amen? Amen? Okay? Intentionality. Intention. Okay? Intention and expectation. Everyone say expectation. Now that word in the Greek, search, seek, and you will find, means to search with the expectation of finding. Okay? So that means if I'm doing this the way Jesus asked me, what it means is, not only am I intentionally going to begin to pursue those things, and here's the great thing. As I begin to pursue, I've already got a promise that I will find. Right? So my pursuit is from a totally different angle than something else. Because I'm not hoping that I just run into it. I already have a promise from God that I'm going to find it. All I've got to do is show up in the right place at the right time and just, God is going to make it happen. I have that promise from the Word of God. So this isn't just haphazardly rolling the dice and hoping it works out. I've got a promise from the Word of God that says when I do my part, God will do his. If I seek, I will find. Amen? So with intention, I seek, and then as I seek, I have the expectation that I'm going to find. Amen? Listen. If I'm looking for God to bless me financially, that means every time I go to the mailbox, I'm have an expectation. Man, God might have put my name on somebody's heart. There could be a check in here that God's going to supernaturally provide my needs. Amen? Amen. When I go into that job interview, man, I have an expectation that, man, God's going to use this might be the one. And if this isn't the one, God's going to lead me to the next one. But I'm not going to quit searching. Amen. If I'm sick in my body, and my big ask is, God, I need you to heal my body. I'm waking up in the morning, getting out of bed, expecting that when I wake up and when I get up, when I begin to move, my body's going to be healed. I can't tell you how many times I've been sick on a Sunday morning and thought, man, I can't go in today. I can't preach today. I can't go into worship today. And all of a sudden, something says, man, you got to get there. God's going to. I remember this happening in a really real way one time. I was a teenager. I was just sick, full of phlegm and allergies and all that. I was like, man, I'm just going to go. Man, I just want to go and worship God. And I'm telling you right now, as I was sitting there in worship one Sunday morning, lifting my hands, just singing to God, all of a sudden, when the service started, man, I was just, you know, couldn't hardly. And all of a sudden, man, as I begin to worship and begin to move and I pray, God, heal me, I'm just going to go ahead and do what I need to do and move forward and believe God as he's going to take care and do what he said he would do, which is to heal my body. Guess what? All of a sudden, by the end of that worship set, man, my nose began, my allergies and sinuses began to clear out. And I was singing praises to God, and God supernaturally is healed. I've had that happen many times in my life. Listen, it's amazing how many people will let things keep them from what God's asked them to do. Amen? Some people let a hangnail keep them out of church. Amen? Some people don't show up to church when it's raining outside. Right? Where is he at? Well, it's raining. Well, hello. I bet the rain didn't keep you from the mall. I bet the rain didn't keep you from the movies. Come on, somebody. I bet the rain ain't going to keep me from going to work tomorrow. Amen? Well, I don't go to church. You know, church is full of hypocrites. Well, there are hypocrites in Kroger, too, but I still go there. Right? Oh, church is full of hypocrites. Well, I didn't quit my job because it's full of hypocrites too. Come on, somebody. Listen. We got to get to a place where I'm not going to let anything or anyone, hell or high water, is not going to keep me from the promises of God. If God said I'm going to be healed, then I'm going to get up and to the best of my ability, push myself, whatever I can do, to begin to walk out in that healing. Amen? If God said I'm going to be provided for, then I'm going to work hard. I'm going to find it. I'm going to do whatever I can do. It may mean starting out flipping burgers at McDonald's for $6 and a quarter an hour, but God is going to use that to promote me and bless me, because he said if I search, I will find. Come on, somebody. Listen, we can't let anything stop us from getting the promises of God. Amen? Yeah. So after we ask, we've got to begin to seek, expecting that God is going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. If I'm, maybe your ask is, man, Lord, I'm looking for my son or daughter to be saved. Then with expectation, we need to approach every day. Lord, this might be the day. Well, they might call me today and ask me to pray with them. Amen? That's what searching, seeking and finding means. Amen? A couple things to remember while we're seeking. Just a few things to keep on our radar as we begin to seek. Number one, in our searching, search for heavenly things. Put that at the top of the priority. Kingdom things. What Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Listen, it does me no good to seek nothing but a bunch of worldly things for this earth to make this life easier if I miss the life to come. Amen? See, we get that flipped around. Jesus says, seek, put the kingdom first, see, and then all these things will be added unto you. Now, that principle can be applied in every aspect of our lives, to our day. God, what is first? What is of chief? That doesn't mean, well, I've got to read the Bible first before I do anything else in the day. I do that. That works for me. It doesn't work for everybody, right? First there doesn't just mean first. It means first in order of importance, not just first chronologically. Amen? So what is first? What is the first thing? What do we look at above all things? Amen? Seek heavenly things. Seek heavenly things. And let God add all the earthly things. That's what he said he's going to do. Amen? Okay? Number two, seek things that will build up the church. Amen? Especially when it comes to, you know, some of you in this place are like, man, I know God's got something great for me, and I want to be involved. Some of you guys are here on our launch team for Red Life, and you're like, man, I'm here because I feel like God's got me called to something great, something big. God's got something stirring up in me. I want to be used more. I want to do more. I want to step out more. Well, listen, as you seek those things, seek things that build up the church and not just you.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? especially when it comes to 1 Corinthians 14:12. He says, so it is with you. And he's talking to a group of people. Listen, he's talking in 1 Corinthians to a group of very spiritual people on the outside, but they were very shallow on the inside in the Corinthian church, okay? And he's talking to a group of people who were really into, that they really enjoyed spiritual gifts, healings, and supernatural manifestations of the presence of God and speaking things, all these things. This is what Paul says to him. He says, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel or seek those gifts that build up the church. He says, nothing wrong with seeking to be used more and walk in your destiny and do, but listen, in your seeking, seek things that are going to build up the kingdom. Amen? Seek things that are going to be a benefit to the kingdom, not just a benefit or a promotion or an elevation to me. Amen? Okay? Third, don't seek, listen, third, this is big, in our seeking, don't get bogged down in trying to seek people, rather just seek to honor God. Amen? Some of our searching, so listen, sometimes we stop searching for God because we get busy seeking to please man. Okay? We can sometimes lose our search for the things of God while we're busy searching to please man. Okay? And the Bible said we can't do that. All right? Galatians 1:10, he says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. What he says, listen, if you're bogged down with trying to seek to please men and to make the people happy around you, here's you say, well, what's the big deal? Shouldn't we make people happy? Shouldn't we serve people and all that? That sounds like it'd be a Jesus thing to do. Jesus say to serve people and not be, I'm not saying, listen, I'm not talking about being rude and being jerks and being selfish and going, oh, it's all about me and God. But what, listen, there are going to be times in your life where God asks you to do something that makes no sense to anyone else. There will be times in your life, if you have a big ask, if you're asking for great things, supernatural things, you're asking for God to do something unbelievable in your life. You're asking for God to do a God-sized thing in your life. There, I'm telling you, you do not get, that, those things do not happen without somewhere along the way, God will ask you to do something that makes no sense. Amen? I'll give you an example from my life. There was a time when my wife and I were hard up financially. We were believing God for it. We just didn't have, there's just too much month at the end of the money, and we didn't know what we was going to do, and we was in a church service, and all of a sudden the pastor said, hey, man, I really feel like taking up an offering for these guys. We're going to bless these guys, and took up a big offering, took up a great offering, man. You know, over, I think it was like $1,500. We really needed $1,500. And the next week, I was sitting in there in the same church, and a visiting guest was there who dealt with a lot of missionary work and things like that, and we hadn't cashed that check yet. And all of a sudden, the Lord began to say, give that to him. Give that to him. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, God. Okay? $1,500 may not mean a lot to you, but it means a whole lot to me. Amen. I was like, man, God, you want to give me this whole thing? And this is what I did. I said, okay, well, Lord, if this is you, my wife has to be in agreement because we're one. And so I'm going to ask her. And if she says no, then I must be just had too much funky pizza last night or something. All right. So I said, hey, babe, I feel like the Lord wants us to give that to that guy. I'm sure she's going to say, dude, there's no way, we can't do that. And I'm like, yes, right? That didn't make much sense to her, but begrudgingly she said, she kind of did one of these, well, if you really feel like God told you to do it. And I was like, oh. Next time if I ask you that, you say, no, we can't do it. No, I'm just kidding. Makes no sense. I bet if I told anybody else about that, and I said, man, what do you think? They probably said, dude, you shouldn't give that. You're crazy. I would have had, listen, what would have happened is, guess what? Somebody probably would have talked me out of it. Right? Right? But what happened, man? We gave it. And listen, I wish I could say, man, the next day, a $20,000 check showed up in the mail. That didn't happen. That doesn't happen. That didn't happen to me, all right? I know sometimes that might happen, right? Didn't happen. I wish I could say somebody came to me and said, hey, man, I know what God told me what you did. I'm going to write you a check for $50,000. Man, I was awesome. And that didn't happen, right? And to this day, I don't really know how we made it through that season. All I know is I haven't missed a meal, got all my bills paid, praise God, because God is faithful and we obey when we seek and find. Guess what? God, when we seek and we're intentional and we do things with expectation and we are obedient and we begin to walk that, guess what? And when my sole purpose is to honor God, God begins to show up and honor our lives. Amen. And honor our asking, honor our prayers. Amen. And if I get bogged down in trying to seek men or make people happy, I'm going to miss those moments when God does something that seems so crazy, that sounds so ridiculous. Amen. Okay. So seek to honor God. Lastly, remember this. Listen to scripture, Matthew 13:45-46. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Another parable just like that right after this that I don't have on the screen. It says, there's a man who found a great treasure in a field. And when he found the treasure, he went away, sold everything he had, and bought, not the treasure, bought the field, right? Bought the field. You know what that tells me? It tells me there's a joy in the seeking. There's fun in the dig. The guy said, man, digging for this, searching for this, and finding this treasure was so beneficial and such a blessing to my life, I want to sell everything I have and buy the entire field so I can hide it again and find it again later because it was so awesome. And that's what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is worth selling everything we have for to go in search of it. Amen? And we got to understand that the kingdom, listen, the kingdom is given to seekers. Jesus said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to have to do some digging for them. Amen? I give you the keys to the kingdom. I'll give you the keys to unlock every door in my resource and in my house to your life. But I may have to do some digging for it. And when I find those keys, it may mean, just go back to the example of the lost car keys. When you lose your car keys, everything stops. Everything becomes unimportant in that moment until you find those keys. Because if I find those keys, I'm not going anywhere. Amen? And there's some of us in this place today. You may be in a moment where you feel like your life is stuck, has gotten halted, has just kind of held up the wheels, the brakes have been pumped, and you're just kind of spinning your wheels, not really moving forward, not going, just kind of hanging out, kind of in a limbo, not really sure where to go or what's going on next. You know what may be going on? God may be saying, you know what? I want to zero everything else out, and you need to find some keys. Take some time and dig for the keys of the kingdom. Dig for the keys that I've given you. Amen? Kingdom's given to seekers. So, Dad, if you come and begin to just play softly, please. So what is the point of all this? I mean, God is God, right? Can't he just, you know, light be, boom, can't he just do that? Can't he just tell somebody to call me and give me a job? Or can I just wake up like Adam did and there's my Eve right there ready to go? I mean, can't that happen? Like, God, why do we have to do it this? Why is there this process? Why is there this searching? Why is there this work and effort on my part? I didn't understand that until I had kids of my own, right? And I understand, I think, a little bit of why God has set this principle up this way. We play hide and seek with our kids. We play different games. I like to, my kids, my daughter and Michaela gets into it once in a while, but our two youngest, Olivia and Micah, man, every day they come, Dad, can we fight? Dad, let's fight. Micah doesn't ask. He just comes up and punches me in the stomach, you know, and he's like, come on, and he just jumps on. You know, they just love to wrestle around, to fight, you know. Why? Why is that so important to them? Why do we do it that way? You know, we don't sit around playing checkers or chess or bridge or whatever. Why? Maybe when they get older, we'll teach them, you know, praise, teach them euchre, and we can have fun playing cards, whatever. You know what I mean? But right now, at the stage of life they're at, I, as the father, have got to find remedial ways to interact with them. Does that make sense? We play hide and seek. If I play hide and seek with my kids, listen, when I play hide and seek with the kids, I'm not trying to teach them some big life lesson. right? I'm not trying to teach them some principle. And I don't, listen, when I go hide, if I'm going to hide or run around, don't you make yourself easy to find? Right? Why? Not because I'm trying to be a jerk or, hey, me, you got to work and come on, let's move around. No, because I'm just trying to play with them. But me, because I'm a little more mature than my kids, and that may be questionable, but depend on who you ask. I've got to do things in an immature way so I can have a relationship with them and interact with them, right? And I think a lot of the reason God is our Father has set up this idea of asking, seeking, finding, is because He is an infinite God. The Bible says His ways are not our ways. The Bible says as high as the heavens are above the earth. That's how high God, now think about that. Just take a minute and think about what it's saying. As high as the heavens are above the earth. When you look up into the sky tonight, besides our sun, the closest star to the earth is 4.3 light years away. The closest star. 4.3 light years away. It means if you were to find that star, and I couldn't tell you how to do that, but if you were to look up in heaven and find that star, whatever you're seeing happened 4.5 years ago. Okay? Now just think about 4.5 years. What's going on in your life in the last 4.5 years? How much has transpired and changed? How much of your kids grown up in 4.5 years, right? How many things have, right? It's a long time. When we look up into the sky tonight, do this. Everybody look. When it gets dark outside tonight, if it's not too cloudy, look up and look at all those stars you see. Understand there are stars that we are seeing tonight with our naked eye that are hundreds, thousands, some maybe hundreds of thousands of light years away. Tens of thousands. There are stars, listen, there is light that we will see in heaven tonight, in the heavens. That light that we're seeing happened sometime around Abraham in Genesis about to sacrifice Isaac. Think about that. Okay? And the Bible says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much greater God is than us. Right? So we have this infinite being wanting to interact with His creation, His children, you and I. And so it's not so much, hey, do this and I'll do this as a set of rules, but I've learned that a lot of the searching is in the, it's, listen, let me put it this way. In the searching, I find Him. As I'm searching for what I need, undeniably, I find Him, right? And it's a way to interact. It's a way for me to, it's a way for God to interact with His children. Amen? Listen, God's not trying to try to be a jerk or put things out of reach or make us work real hard. He's just saying, man, I wanna interact. I wanna be a part of your life. I wanna love you. I want you to know me. I wanna interact with you, but you can't interact with me on my level. I've gotta find some way to interact with you on your level. Amen? And so God does that in this process of searching and finding. And here's a promise for our searching. Jeremiah 29:13-14. Many of you know Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a future and a hope. Okay, I love that. Now I love this part even more. Verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And then God promises this. I will be found by you. Isn't there a moment if I'm playing hide and seek with my kids and I got in a place and they can't find me, right? And I'm out there searching, I can't find. There's always a moment as their dad. I'm just going to sit here for 2 hours waiting for them to find me. There's a moment I'm going to jump out and say, here I am. Gotcha. Right? And listen, every one of our lives, God has an ordained moment. As we're searching, there is a moment where God is inevitably going to jump out and say, here I am. You were searching, and here I am. I'm right here. Amen. Because God says, God's not trying to hide to keep things from us. God is hiding, but He says, I will be found by you. Hallelujah. Amen. I will be found. Listen, God does not want to hide and make us do all the work and do everything to find Him. God desires to be found by us. He desires for His blessings and for His keys and for the kingdom to be discovered by us. And He's waiting to jump out and say, here I am. Here I am. Right behind this door, right under this rock, right around this turn, here I am. But listen, we will never discover that here I am moment if we simply ask and then forget about everything else. We will never discover that here I am moment if all we do when we ask is say, okay, God, now just do it. And we don't put any action to it, intentionality to it. Amen? You guys getting this morning? Let me just take this one more step further if I could. In all of our seeking, I want you to remember this one thing. Remember this. Not only does God ask us to seek, it says seek and you will find. We need to understand that the very nature of God, the very nature of Jesus, he also is a seeker. See, in all of my searching for God and for his blessings and for my provision and for the things that I need, Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's an amazing thing to understand that all the while I was searching for something, Jesus was searching for me. All the times that I was searching, and often I didn't really understand what I was even searching for, but the reality is, the thing that I was really needing and should have been searching for, he was looking for me the entire time. He was out there looking for me, waiting for my searching to interact and to intersect with his searching. And when that happens, my life has been changed forever. Amen? And here's what we got to understand. Listen, in all of our lives, Jesus is searching for you and for me. In our searching, we find him and understand that he was looking for us the entire time. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news this morning? Amen. Stand up with me all over this place. As I'm seeking help for my life, as I'm seeking to discover the purpose and discover the things God has me for, Jesus is searching for a relationship for you and me. With you and me. Amen? If you'd close your eyes this morning, forget about the people around you, forget about who you're here with today. I just want to ask somebody today, will you let him find you this morning? Will you let him find you? Will you open your heart up and open your eyes up and open your spirit up to the fact that this morning, February 10th, it's about 5 till noon, Jesus is searching for you. How do you know that? Because the proof of desire is in the pursuit. And Jesus has shown me his ridiculous desire for me by the lengths he was willing to go to get me. What are you talking about? 2,000 years ago, the Bible says Jesus lived life as a man, allowed himself to be arrested, allowed himself to be beaten, allowed himself to be whipped, allowed himself to be tortured, allowed himself to be handed over to an earthly rule of government, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, allowed his blood to stain the ground. And in him doing that, he was saying to you and I, this is the length I'm willing to go. This is how far I'm willing to go. This is my proof of my desire for you is in the pursuit, is in the length I'm willing to go to enable to have a relationship with you. Listen, see, that's something we don't have to ever question. He has already shown us everything that he has ever done. And there's some of you, listen, there may be somebody here today, that situations, circumstances in your life have made you question, man, I don't know if anybody ever really loves me or anybody's ever really going to want me or anybody's ever going to want to be with me. Listen, you don't ever have to question that again. You'll see what Jesus has done. And in doing that, every lash upon his back, every punch that he took to his face, every insult that was hurled upon him, every pound of the nail through his hands and his feet, every struggling breath that he took upon that cross, he was saying, I want to be with you. I want to have a relationship with you. This is me searching for you. This is me doing whatever it takes to find you. This is me paying whatever price is necessary to be with you. You may be in this place this morning and you're away from God. You don't really have a I was asking, man, do you know the Lord? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? You're like, I don't really know. I've gone to church a few times. I know the story. I don't really know him. I'm not really searching for him. I don't really feel like we have any interaction. Let him find you this morning. Let him find you today. Let him find you today. God could have orchestrated this entire moment and your entire week, your entire moment to come right here to this moment so he could say, let me find you. Let me find you. Here's what we're going to do in just a moment. We're going to sing this worship song. I'm going to pray. And as we end this service today with this last song, altar workers are going to come down front here. And we're just going to sing this together. If you're in this place today, say, man, I want to let him find me. I want to let him find me. I want to let him find me. You may say, man, I know the Lord, but man, I need help in the searching. I need prayer for that. Listen, whatever that is for you, I want to encourage you to don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Come down front. People are going to pray for you. I'll be out here. We can pray. And I believe God's going to find somebody this morning. Amen? Amen. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, let's just do this. Close your eyes. Forget about everybody around you. If the Lord's dealing with you, the Holy Spirit's doing something, you feel something tugging in your heart, don't avoid that. Don't just swallow that or push that down. The Lord is drawing you. The Lord is calling on you today. Let him find you. Let him find you. Listen. He promises. Story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 17. The story goes that a rich man had a son. The son said, Dad, I want you to give me my inheritance now so that I can live however I want to now. I want to enjoy it now. I'm a young man. I can still enjoy it. Think about what he's saying, though. What he's saying is this. He's saying, Dad, I wish you were dead now so I could have my inheritance. Right? Crushing blow to the father. But the father gives it to him anyway. The Bible says the prodigal son goes, squanders it on wild living, spends it quickly, finds his money gone, his bills stacked up, no jobs, ends up living in a pig pen. And then the Bible says he came to himself and remembered, even my father's servants have plenty to eat, and I'm wrestling a hog for dinner. So the Bible says the young man got himself up and began to walk home. And then it says this. It says, while the young man was still a long way off, it says the father saw him in the distance and ran to him and brought him home. What's he saying? He's saying, listen. If you take one step towards God, he's going to come find you. You take that first step, he's going to come and meet you the rest of the way. You know what else it means? It means that father, I imagine that father every day getting up, opening his door, and spending some time looking over the horizon to see, my boy might be coming home today. And if I see him, I'm going to go find him. And this morning, today, God's looking over the horizon, waiting for you to let him find you. Take that first step. He's going to come meet you the rest of the way. Amen? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, you're ministering, God. Lord, we just turn this entire moment over to you. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would put inside each and every one of us, God, a heart to search hard after you. A heart, God, to seek, Lord God, and the determination to seek until we find. God, the determination to ask, to seek, to knock until we have the things that you have put in our heart to go after, Lord God, until we have the things that we have seen from your word that you said we can have, Father, in Jesus' name. God, let us not give up. Let us not quit. Let it not just be a fleeting moment, but God, let it be something that begins to work through every aspect and portion of our lives. And Lord God, for those, someone you may be dealing with today, God, and you're searching for them. Lord, I pray for boldness and strength, God, to come. And Lord, as they begin to move, find them, Lord. Today is someone's day that you've been seeking for them. Let it be so. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any aspect of your life this morning, as our altar workers...